Our Bible reading this morning is Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And we will begin our reading from verse 36. Luke 7 verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou givest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. We want to look at this passage as we prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. Jesus is here invited to a banquet table. The one who invited him was a Pharisee. His name was Simon. When Jesus went into the house, Simon left the door open so that others could loiter at the door, and some perhaps would even be curious enough to enter the house. In a sense, this indicates to us the intention of Simon the Pharisee. He was ready to have a discussion, perhaps even a debate, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He left the door open. He wanted others to hear about what he wants to converse with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pharisees, of course, were very against Jesus, against his teachings, against even his compassion. They found it too radical, too changing, and too transforming. So Simon the Pharisee, he was ready to converse and discuss with the Lord Jesus Christ. But before any conversation could take place, any debate and discussion could take place, a woman came in. She entered quietly, stood behind Jesus, and then she washed the Savior's feet with her tears.
and wiped those dirty feet with her hair. And Jesus uses this now to teach Simon and to teach us this morning something about forgiveness. The person who is forgiven much loves much. So for the communion this morning, let us briefly consider this passage, forgiven much. First of all, let's look at the repentant woman. Then let's try secondly to understand why she has so much love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, Jesus here has some very reassuring words to her and to us this morning. The repentant woman. Jesus here is invited to a feast, to a banquet table. And in the Middle East, when a host invites a guest into the house, he would of course meet him at the door. Simple, courteous hospitality. He would greet him with a kiss, which was of course the culture of the Middle East people. And having done that, he would next come and bring to the person oil or perfume, so that the person could at least maybe smells better, and they would anoint the head with those nice smelling perfume or oil. And if the person is rich and he has servants, he would order the servants to come and wash the guest's feet so that all the dirt and all the dust will be washed away. And then the person, the guest, would comfortably enjoy his stay in the house and enjoy the food, and will feel clean, will smell also nice. But then Simon did none of these things for his guest. He invited Jesus, but he didn't show him any honor, didn't show him any respect, didn't give him any hospitality. There was even no courtesy in greeting the Lord Jesus Christ. But what Simon did not do, this woman did. The woman entered into the house and quietly came near to the Lord Jesus Christ. She stood behind him so that she could clean the feet, the dirty feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus was not sitting. It was very usual in those days that they would eat at a very long rectangular table, which is very low, and the guests would recline and lean on the table, and then they would stretch out their legs away from the table in a very comfortable position. And the woman came close to the Lord Jesus Christ, stood behind him, so that she could at least reach those dirty feet. And then, here the story tells us, she knelt before him and started weeping. The word in the Greek is that she kept on weeping, and that she kept on kissing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was in tears, but those tears that she shed were tears that she used at the same time to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus. And when she wanted to clean those feet, she poured perfume. Here, the King James uses the word ointment. And then she went ahead to kiss those feet. What Simon did not do, this woman did. Now, who is this woman? Some commentators tried very hard to identify this woman. Mary, perhaps. The name is not given. But here, she was a complete stranger, first of all. Jesus did not know her personally. No name is given. She followed Christ all the way when she entered into the city. But Simon recognized this woman. Two times the Bible tells us that she was an indecent woman. She lived in vice, because the Bible says that she was a sinner. Behold, a woman, verse 37, which was a sinner, came to Jesus. She was a sinner. Then later on, Simon, as he was thinking about this woman in verse 39, he too said, "For she is a sinner." If the Lord Jesus Christ knows who this woman is, surely he cannot let this woman come close to her to touch him. She is a sinner. Twice in this text, the Bible says she is a sinner. But the word is used in different sense in both verses. The first time when the Bible says that she is a sinner, it is to indicate to us that she is an immoral woman, one who is a prostitute, a harlot. But the second time when the Bible uses the word sinner to describe her, it came out of the mouth of Simon the Pharisee. She is a sinner, not just one who lived in vice, but here is a woman who is an outcast. She is to be despised. She is to be condemned for her sins and lust and vice. She mustn't come into my house. She mustn't come close to this person who is a rabbi and teacher. She must be condemned. She is a sinner. Used in two different sense. Do you notice those condemning tone of Simon the Pharisee? She is a sinner. Simon was disgusted with this woman, with what she sees here, what he sees here. How could Jesus let this woman come near to her? But because Simon already had a prejudice against this woman, he could not see her repentance. This woman comes no longer as a prostitute. She comes to Jesus as a repentant woman, because she came with tears. She does not come to seduce the Lord Jesus. In fact, she came humbling herself to the point of humiliation. Knowing that the crowd at the door would despise her, Simon the Pharisee would not welcome her, but she came with tears and she let down her hair to cover the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with her tears she cleansed those feet, and then she poured perfume so that those feet may smell nice, may appear beautiful. She came with a repenting heart. The bottle of perfume was expensive. That was the bottle of perfume that she once used to seduce men, to entice men, so that they could share the bed with her. But now she takes this perfume and pours it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to beautify our Savior. This is the picture, brethren, of a repentant sinner. There are two things that will always be found in a person who is a repentant sinner. First of all, tears. Second, gratitude. This woman has tears, plenty of them, so much that she could wipe the Savior's feet with those tears. She has sinned. She recognized it. She acknowledged it. Not only has she sinned and damaged and spoiled her life, but she has led others to sin. She has laid traps to entice men. She has lived with those perhaps who have been husbands with wives already. And she has damaged the lives of so many. No wonder her tears are so plenty. And she wept. A repentant woman. But at the same time, she was also full of gratitude. And the bottle of perfume that she took with her was to indicate her thankfulness after the Lord Jesus Christ poured those perfume on him, perfume of thanksgiving, fragrance of thanksgiving to God, we see here a repenting woman. Now, this action of course surprised everybody, because this was of course something which was unexpected. She was not an invited guest. She pushed her way in quietly and did this very extraordinary thing. Question is, what is the reason for her action? Why did she do this, knowing that others will mock her, laugh at her? Simon will ridicule her. Why did she do it? Jesus speaks a parable to explain her actions. And he speaks this parable to Simon, the Pharisee. The parable here tells us simply of a creditor who has two debtors. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Jesus looked at that woman. And now he turns his eyes to look at Simon. Simon, I have something to say to you. And you listen to me. I know your heart. I know your condemning spirit. I know your prejudice. But let me say this to you. A man has two debtors. One of them owes 500 pence, the other 50 pence. Nothing to pay. Completely without money. And this gracious creditor said, I will forgive the debts. Cancel all that you owe me. And the question I want to ask you is this, Simon. Who do you think of these two debtors will love the creditor the most? A simple parable, of course, a very simple answer. And so Simon answered in verse 43, I suppose that he to whom he forgives most. And Jesus says, Simon, you judge rightly. A person who has been forgiven a debt of 500 pence will definitely show more gratitude. The bigger the debt that is forgiven, the bigger the gratitude that is shown. Now Jesus, of course, speaking in this way, is not talking about money and dollars and cents. He uses this parable to teach us something very spiritual. He's teaching us about grace and salvation. The person who is forgiven much will love God most. And this explains why the woman showed so much devotion and honor and love to the Lord Jesus Christ. She had wasted her life in vice, in lust. And she came to the point where she realized that I owe God so much. I owe God righteousness. I owe God obedience. And this is the way I live my life. I've wasted my life in vice, in immorality, in lust, in cheating, in deceit, in seduction. I cannot go on like this. And when she followed the Lord Jesus Christ as he went from city to city, town to town, village to village, he was there with the crowd following the Lord Jesus Christ. And she heard those good news of forgiveness, good news of salvation in God, good news of repentance and faith and a new life. And she made a decision. I cannot go on like this. I cannot live in vice and lust. And she gave her life to God. Any person who turns to God like this will experience forgiveness. And the experience of forgiveness for such a person like this will be extremely overwhelming. My sins are gone. My guilt is taken. Everything that has been a burden in my conscience is no more. I find joy. I find a new life in God because of that forgiving grace. No wonder she loved Jesus so much. As she came with perfume, she came with tears. You have turned to Christ. Have you come to Him with tears? Are you still showing gratitude to Jesus Christ? She was forgiven much. She sends it. And because she sends that sin, she sends also that overwhelming forgiveness. Now this simple parable at the same time also serves another purpose. This parable was spoken to Simon. There's something that Jesus wants to teach Simon, the Pharisee. He was waiting for a discussion and a debate, but instead he finds that Jesus now is speaking to his conscience. Jesus uses this parable to bring out at the same time the difference between Simon the Pharisee and this woman, the prostitute. Simon was a Pharisee. That means in those days, he was put in a class that is above everyone else in the Jewish culture and society. In those days, of course, they have very high respect for religious leaders. They were not just people who expound the law. Many times they solve many domestic problems and conflicts. They make decisions for social life as well amongst the Jews. People in a very prominent position, high in position, respected in his status. He belongs to what we would call a fine class of leaders in society. But this woman is a harlot, lived an immoral life. Simon lived and worked in the city. And when Jesus came, this harlot followed Jesus. Beautiful house. Maybe something like 6th Avenue, Bukit Timah. But this woman's residence is in a red light district. A place perhaps like Geylang or Bugis. What a contrast in character, in status. One is despised, the other respected. Simon, he sees his life as moral. And because he sees his life as so upright, he's so proud of it, he sees that there's no need to show so much devotion to a man like this. He sends little forgiveness because he's too proud of his own self-righteousness and his own works. He may be a religious leader, but Simon needs forgiveness. And he did not sense it because he's not aware of his own corruptions and his own sins. May not have committed the same degree of vice, but let me tell you this. Pride is also a vice. Pride is also a sin that can make a sinner die in hell without heaven. Also a terrible sin against God. So there's something which is very touching here, at the same time something very tragic. The case of the woman is very touching because we see tears, we see a heart of passion, a heart of love and devotion. But we see something tragic in the life of Simon the Pharisee, the upright moralist. My life is good, but yet he's so blind to his own corruptions. Cannot see that he needs forgiveness. Jesus then turns to that woman, and in verse 48, he says to her, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." After Jesus has spoken to Simon, Jesus turned to the woman. "Thy sins are forgiven." It was a simple speech. But it was a declaration from the Savior to a sinful outcast, despised. Simon noticed, recognized her as a prostitute. Alfred Edersheim, that great Jewish commentator, said that Simon recognized her because Simon slept with her. Well, I won't want to make that conclusion, but others take that position. But Simon recognized this woman. This is a prostitute. And he, of course, realized that she is immoral. This is a humiliating thing. If Simon recognized her, certainly the crowd at the door recognized her. And she was willing to go to that degree to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mind that humiliation. I don't mind that very distinguished crowd at the house, but I want to be with Jesus to touch him. And so, in the midst of all this very shameful experience, the Lord says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Can you imagine that setting? You know that when you enter the office that morning, the colleagues are going to accuse you, and you know your innocence. And when you enter into the meeting, you know the eyes are looking at you. He did it. But you know your innocence. And suppose a man comes who has the authority to say that you did not do it and is able to clear the case for you. And he comes and say, before the entire board in the meeting, "I know this man. He did not do it. He is clear." And that will shut the criticism and the prejudice of all in the meeting. This is how that woman felt. The Lord Jesus Christ said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And when he declared that to her, everybody else heard it. Jesus, of course, did not forgive her because she loved him. He made it very clear in verse 49, "It is your faith that saved you, not your love. I did not forgive you because you love me. But your love is because you have experienced already that forgiveness. And because you have sensed that forgiveness, the proof of that forgiveness and the change in your life is that you love me, you devote yourself to me, you pour perfume on my feet, and you use your hair to wipe my feet. And you kept on weeping, you kept on kissing those dirty feet." All the while, she had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ very quietly. She followed him, killed him. But now Jesus takes her faith into the open. And sometimes Jesus has a very beautiful way of doing this. In front of all your enemies, he opens up your faith. Says, "Your faith, your love, it's beautiful. I forgive you." And then Jesus says to her, "Go in peace." The meaning is not here, go and then don't create any more trouble to others. The meaning here is go and do not let accusations trouble your conscience. And this, brethren, is the essence of forgiveness. You have to know this. You commit a sin, you turn to Christ, Christ forgives. But the sin comes back. And it goes on and on. Does it mean that Christ did not forgive you? No. Of course, you must go on repenting. You still need to experience the forgiveness. But it doesn't mean that those sins have the power to take away the forgiveness from Christ. The forgiving grace of God is so powerful that nothing can take that forgiveness away at the cross. And he says to this woman, "Go in peace. Don't let anything trouble your conscience. You already are forgiven. Go and enjoy your new life. You are a forgiven woman. Don't let anyone condemn you anymore. Don't let Simon. Don't let the crowd." I like the illustration which was used by Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher one time. in order to illustrate the assurance of forgiveness, he told a story, true or not, I do not know, but very moving account. One time, a man was arrested. He was tried in Spain. And because of his case, he had to be executed. But this man was born a British. And he was also an American citizen. And the two consuls came together, approached the Spanish ambassador, and said, "Pardon this man. We know his case. He ought to be pardoned rather than executed. But according to Spanish law, he has to be put to death." Now, because Singapore many times has this controversy with other countries, because we are very strict with certain crimes, have to be executed to death. But the Spanish ambassador and government says, "No, we have to put this man to death." And so on the day of execution, the British ambassador and the American ambassador went to that place. And still appealing, still protesting, "Let this man go." But they would not. And so the two ambassadors, said Spurgeon, took their national flag and covered that man who was to be executed. Put on him, first of all, the British flag. Then put on him next the United States flag. And then said to the Spanish ambassador and the government, "You dare to touch this man's life, two nations will be against you." Now, that is the case with every one of us who is forgiven by Christ and God. Who dare to touch our life? Not even Satan, not your past sins, not your present sins, not your ongoing sins, nothing in life and death, nothing in this entire creation is able to condemn you if God forgives you. And this woman knows it. The one who knows the forgiveness of God will love Christ most. And so there is this reassuring words. And of course the crowd sense a wonder. Who is this man who can forgive sins? They've seen something which they know truly belongs to God alone. No prophet has ever said anything like this. Not even Elijah, not even Moses, not the great prophets of the Hebrew history. But this man, "Come and say your sins are forgiven." And they know that only God can do this. Who is this Jesus? If you can only know this morning, and know his death, sense his sacrifice, knows the power of his blood, and knows the power of his resurrection, your life will be changed. Because nothing matters more than devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness he brings. In closing, let me say a few things in application. Number one, true religion must make you sense your sin so that you will turn to God for forgiveness. You may go to another person and say, "God forgives." But if he does not sense his sin, he will refuse that forgiveness. There are many people who turn to religion because, "I want something for my daily life. I want some relief. I want some comfort in my life." But yet, they have no sense and awareness of their own corruptions. True religion must have a sense of sin and an awareness of failure. Many are like Simon. They live a moral life. They think highly of themselves. They are very self-righteous. But because they sense no sin, they don't turn to God for forgiveness. Number two, what is it that Jesus wants from you this morning? He wants your tears. He wants your gratitude. He wants you to improve, to repent, and to go on living a thankful and a useful life. Number three, how much do you love God? How much you love God depends on how deeply you are aware of God's forgiveness. Jesus made it plain. We all owe God obedience. But because your sins are forgiven, and if you appreciate that, you will certainly love God most. Your profound awareness of God's forgiveness, at the same time, number four, will affect your relationship with others. And this is so important, isn't it? As you go back to home and office tomorrow, your profound awareness of the forgiveness of God will affect your interaction and relationship with others. If you have little sense of God's forgiveness, you will be unforgiving in dealing with others. The person who is most generous with forgiveness is the person who is most forgiven by God. Simon noticed he was very prejudiced, very critical, very unforgiving, although this woman was in tears. So how much do you give to God? How much do you commit to Him? God gave Jesus to us. How much do you devote to Him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are searching words as we come to the Lord's table, but we thank you for forgiveness. And we see that also in our own life. And we see that also this week in the life of Brother Besser, who knows that he has been forgiven much, and who therefore is ready even to give his life to you. Father, help us to come to the Lord's table giving thanks for your forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.